Previously on Welcome to Provincetown.
My life back at home was not stable at all.
Ethan is still figuring out what his next steps are.
I can't even remember the last time I saw a doctor. Like, it was like long. Like, I didn't see any health professionals for like long periods of my life.
While Sunny is here to cheer on his friends.
I like to let other people shine. I'm just happy to be there and like be able to appreciate the live content that they come up with 24/7.
The king approaches.
It's Wednesday, August 18th. Sunny is waiting at the ferry terminal to meet his best friend from Boston, Adam. Sunny is always talking about Adam.
And my best friend Adam is coming to visit. So Adam is my best friend from Boston. He's the sweetest. He's 19 million times more funny than me and amazing.
You know Adam, my bestie? He's on his way right now on the ferry, so we're going to go greet him with a bunch of signs and stuff. So I got to go.
It's good to see Sunny energized and in high spirits again, ready to hype up his best friend and gear up for another weekend of debauchery. Sunny roped in his friends in town, Harrison and Juo, to be part of the welcome committee.
And I made signs, and I invoked the help of my besties in town to come and make sure he feels welcome and excited.
What does the sign say?
So one says, looking for a sweet baby angel, and the other one says, welcome to Carnival King Adam.
The signs are huge. One of them is probably 6 feet wide, and Adam has already spotted us from the ferry.
I can already see him. Hello, King! Yay!
This might not come as a surprise, but Sunny was his college mascot for a while, Jonathan the Husky. He lives for this shit.
Welcome! Here comes a boy! Now he's here!
Sunny has big plans for Adam and his trip this week. Starting right now, they're headed to drinks, then dinner, then the dance party Fag Bash later tonight.
This you guys is, are really outdoing yourselves.
This what? Is the...
Guys,
I'm so happy you're here!
I have so much fun things for us.
I'm Mitra Kaboli. Welcome to Provincetown, Episode 8, Under the Rainbow. It's Carnival Week in Provincetown, which is another week of events, but this one culminates in a parade, sort of like P-Town's version of a Pride Parade, which is funny now because it feels like every day is Pride. But leading up to the first carnival in 1978, P-Town had a reputation for being a queer haven, but not publicly. You would never be able to tell that the town was full of homos by looking at, let's say, travel brochures or guidebooks. So a group of businesses band together and cooked up Carnival as a way to market the town to gay people specifically. And it's been a tradition ever since. P-Town loves dress up. And for Carnival, people like to go all out. Every year has a different theme. And this year's theme is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. After one of my interviews with Sunny, we were thinking up ideas for what to wear.
I'm going to wear all black and say that I'm over the rainbow.
That was my idea.
I know it was.
God damn it.
I haven't owned it. I've told every single person I've done this that I don't know who I heard it from, but this is the idea that I'm stealing. I'm glad that it's you because that this is coming full circle.
At this point in the summer, I'm themed out. Every party, every fag bash, every week, there's a new theme and a whole new look. I just want to wear my normal clothes and not feel like an idiot by the end of the night.
I think Adam's going to be bought like a leprechaun suit online. So we'll see how that
comes. That's at the end of the rainbow.
So he sent me this.
I do love that. I think I'll be a leprechaun. What if I was a pot of gold?
Oh my god. That would be cute. just No, my god. That's such. Here, check this out.
Sunny pulls out a pair of gold lamé pants from his closet.
I could be the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Oh my god!
Should we do this? Or we could have multiple looks. We probably need multiple looks, right?
The likelihood that I will even have one look is pretty slim right now.
You could be the pot of gold to Adam's leprechaun.
Oh! Ah! Oh my god. Oh my god, this is perfect.
The carnival parade was canceled this year before the summer even started because of COVID. But carnival, the week of partying, is still on. The town is reeling from the major COVID outbreak that we discussed in our last episode. But things have settled now. The streets are slowly getting busier, but still not as packed as it usually is for carnival. Or at least, that's what people tell me.
I love that witch.
Which witch over there?
I head over to Commercial Street to see what the scene is. There are tons of people ambling up and down the street, most of them in costumes. For a town that has an endless appetite for dress-up, carnival is like Broadway. It's the event.
And all these costumes are amazing. Oh my god, I'm just overwhelmed. You know what? I didn't want to be Dorothy. There's a lot of Dorothy. Look, Dorothy! Dorothy! Let me pet Toto. Oh, here's a little Toto. Ow! He bit me!
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a lawsuit, right?
There are tons of people posing for pictures. I run into Emily, my co-producer. I'm wearing all black and feeling kind of like a wet blanket for not dressing up.
You're fantastic, by the way. Oh my God. Thank you.
Emily has been out all afternoon with some friends of Jay Critchley, the conceptual artist in love with his septic tank.
Steve and Tim are two of the most incredible people I know.
I'll let Emily take it from here.
That holds that in position.
Tim, you're the one working the power tools over here.
I'm the one working all of it.
This is Tim.
The rest of them are just loitering.
And this is Steven.
Glitter and glamour. Been doing it for decades.
They live for carnival. And they've been together in every carnival parade since the 80s.
Okay, here we go.
Earlier in the day, I met them in a parking lot off of Bradford Street. Even though the parade was canceled, they are hell-bent on sending a float down Commercial Street. They are the only ones.
We're gonna stand it up. Steven, grab it. Grab the body.
They hoist a 10-foot-tall homemade tornado onto a narrow dolly.
Up, 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 up. Okay. Okay. All right. Now we're gonna go. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Don't let go of the tornado.
Okay, I got the tornado. It'd be a miracle if this doesn't fall apart.
Ironically, there's a tornado warning in Massachusetts today. And it's been raining on and off.
Why are we doing this in the rain? Because we've been doing this for almost 40 years and the rain is not going to stop us. We'll stop when we're dead.
Let's go this way.
They dangle a dollhouse from the top of the rickety tornado.
Don't get too close. It'd be a really bad scene. Podcaster dies while watching gay men assemble a float.
Yeah.
A little tape here, a little tape there, here tape, there tape, everywhere tape, tape. Old MacDonald had a farm.
Steve emerges from their minivan as the Wicked Witch of the West, his shiny black wig off-center.
You're looking good, Steve.
Yeah, it took me 5 minutes to dress up, but 3 hours to set up. The costume is easy. It's the float.
How are you feeling? You look
I'm feeling amazing. I'm already in character. I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
He keeps stopping to pose for pictures.
We can't miss a great photo opportunity.
Meanwhile, Tim runs around, Dorothy braids flopping all over the place, securing anything he can with a drill.
Put the camera down, okay, and help me, please. Quickly. It's like wrangling chickens.
They have some friends there, too, and they are all off book on The Wizard of Oz. The entire movie.
And who are you?
I'm Miss Gulch. I'm the character that Margaret Hamilton played in the beginning of the movie before she became the witch. Here's my best witch line. And now, my beauties, something with poison in it. With poison, I say. With poison. Attractive to the eye and soothing to the smell. Poppies. Poppies will put them to sleep. Poppies. Now they'll sleep.
You're going to have nightmares tonight, aren't you? Can I have everybody's attention for a second?
Here's where,
anyone who's joining us,
yes.
We're happy to have you.
Okay.
The only thing that we need to pay attention to is if the wind gets away from us, and I'm having problems because it's blowing sideways, all hands on deck, grab the float. Stop posing for photos, Darren.
The float also has built-in speakers blaring sound from the movie. After a quick sound check, we head over to the main drag.
We're going to lock up the cars and we're going to roll. Oh,
we round the corner onto Commercial Street. Steve and Tim and their band of four friends take their time, blocking traffic, posing for photos, singing and dancing, and zigzagging back and forth on the narrow street. The tornado is still standing. I walk beside a young guy named Jonathan with a sweet face who joined the group.
I just met Ryan this morning.
He just arrived last night. It's his first time in P-Town, and someone invited him to tag along. Somehow he managed to wrangle some props, a witch hat and a feather boa.
It's also nice that it's not like, you know, we're not all just like shirtless with a minimum of costumes, you know? It's not just an excuse. It's not like...
Show off your six-pack?
Exactly. It's a little more classic, you know?
As the Steve and Tim One Float Parade snakes down the street, off to the side, among the spectators, I spot abs. A group of fit, shirtless men in their 40s and 50s, in green sequin bow ties and booty shorts, and lots of green glitter, eating their ice cream cones, looking bored.
Can I say hi to you all?
Hi, yeah.
I wander over.
Are you all collectively the Emerald City?
Yes.
Well, we should call us the Amazon City, because half these costumes are from Amazon.
But please cut that out.
What we did is, I had spray paint, I brought that. Landy Dean is a makeup artist. Jonathan is a fabulous, gorgeous, beautiful model, so he gave style, content, and attitude.
I'm the founder of a major software company.
Words, they all did jack shit.
When I return to the Steve and Tim parade, they are having the time of their lives, feeding off of the crowd.
What do you think so far?
I think we're doing great. Yeah. We haven't had a crash yet, and the cops haven't shut us down yet. Which I don't think they're going to. It's a twister!
It's like Christmas. It's family reunion. We see the same friends every year. We make people happy, and that makes us happy. So it's just a win-win.
And on a deeper level, I think it's a place to escape away from all of the, you know, drudgery of your dull lives. But come on, everybody works 9 to 5, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week. And they save up their money, and they come here to escape reality and to have a week of just not worrying about anything else.
One thing about P-Town that is easy to forget in the midst of the summer party scene is that people actually live here, like, all the time. When you get a little bit to the east of Commercial Street, it slowly starts to quiet down. Lesbians are walking their dogs, bees buzzing around the flowers, birds chirping. While people are escaping into carnival parties, Ethan, the 18-year-old in the Summer of SAS program, is facing some very real challenges in his life. Since arriving in P-Town, one of his goals has been to address a medical issue he has.
I have an appointment. I'm looking forward to that because I'm hoping this time they'll kind of finally get to, like, where they want to go with this and, like, what route they want to take to resolve this. I mean, it'll probably be surgery because that's usually what fixes it. But luckily, the surgery isn't, like, too complicated. I think they send you home the same day.
Ethan has something called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome. Basically, he has some extra electrical pathways in his heart that cause abnormal rhythms. Ethan's case is not that serious. It's more of a quality of life thing. Right now, he can't exercise or really do anything that raises his heart rate, like bike the trails in the sand dunes, which is something he's really been wanting to do. He'll get dizzy and lightheaded, maybe even pass out.
I feel like I kind of just know how to manage it now, but still it can just make, like, a day-to-day life a bit of, like, just an inconvenience sometimes, because like there's always something, you know, you can't do because something's gonna get set off.
Ethan has known about his condition since he was 12, when he first started to feel it, but he hasn't had access to proper care until now.
Luckily, now that I am of age and now that I am making some of my own decisions, I've been seeing like some doctors and seeing like my cardiologist.
Ethan needs a cardiac ablation, which is a surgery that's going to block off the extra electrical pathways so his heart can function normally.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I mean, I'm nervous because I've never had any kind of anything done to me before.
And when you get to the hospital, you're going to have to put on a hospital mask anyway, I think. The rules last time we brought our own masks, they're like, no, get rid of that mask. You got to put on this mask,
yeah, I
remember?
Forgot about that, yeah.
So we'll see.
I'm in the car with Kristen and Ethan from Summer of SAS. We're driving to Hyannis, which is one of the bigger towns on the Cape, where Ethan is getting his ablation surgery today.
Yeah, how long did they say it would take?
So, I forgot to tell you this last night. Okay. So, they said the actual procedure would probably only take 1 to 2 hours.
Yeah, and then probably an hour in recovery.
They said they got to monitor me for about 5 hours afterwards.
Oh! And are you getting discharged tonight?
Yeah, okay. Like tonight. Okay. So, I'll be there, like, all day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, assuming if everything goes well, which
no, everything will go fine.
One of the first things that Kristen does with Summer of SAS is get them set up on MassHealth, the state health insurance program. And all summer long, Ethan has been calling doctors and going to different appointments to see what his treatment options are. This is something that he's determined to address before the end of the summer. Pretty impressive for anyone at any age, but especially for an 18-year-old.
Basically, you know, we had gotten Ethan healthcare. And he wanted to do something to fix his Wolff Parkinson's White syndrome. And honestly, like, I couldn't fucking make these doctor's appointments for myself at the rate that he took care of this.
Kristen has been driving him to his appointments, but otherwise, Ethan's been doing this all on his own. And now he's about to have a life-changing surgery. But he needs 3 full days off, which has been hard for him to negotiate at his job. One of the owners tried to persuade him to push the procedure into the off season.
I guess I'm just like struggling with the level of importance they're giving to their shop. And I'm not saying that it's not like that, like businesses aren't important, but like,
yeah, but
you're not managing
exactly.
It. There's no room to move up in that company.
No.
It's not a career. It's a summer job.
Literally.
And like, but also again, like my factor is, you were 17 4 months ago.
Exactly.
Like, cut you some fucking slack. You did this all by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're navigating all of this without any guardians here or, like, I'm barely qualified as an adult.
I think you're doing the adult thing pretty well.
Thanks, man. They're really, like, striking me as people who are, like, minimum wage, but we want maximum effort.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting paid Massachusetts minimum wage, $13.50 an hour, is actually really low for P-Town. A lot of people I talked to were making closer to $20 an hour. But he was promised a bonus, which Ethan and Kristen were hoping would make up for his low hourly rate. But now, the owner is threatening to take it away for missing work for his surgery.
I was totally on board the bonus concept. Like, yeah,
yeah.
Because I've had kids who are like, it's actually nice to get a chunk of change at the end of season.
Oh, yeah, of
course,
yeah.
But the way that he held it over your head,
I'm
pretty fucking livid about.
I still appreciate that.
So, like, if something happens and you can't do a week, then your bonus is in jeopardy from the whole summer?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that's bullshit.
Work problems aside, Ethan is nervous.
It's crazy. You think I'm actually about to, like, have this done, though? Like, it's almost surreal-ish, but... I mean, it's scary, but exciting.
So they're going to, like, basically burn off that extra electrical pathway.
That's exactly what they do.
And then, so now when you exercise, you get winded? Like, you get, your heart goes irregularly?
It gets, like, irregularly fast.
Okay.
It's not even just that. It can be from, like, a lot of things. Like, irregularly fast.
Okay. And all of that should go away?
Yes.
Sick. It
should. Which I'm looking forward to.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
Science!
Yes.
After the hour-long drive, we arrive at the hospital. We park and head inside.
So I was just checking in for my ablation scheduled for 11:30. Okay.
After Ethan finishes checking in, we say goodbye and watch him disappear down the hall to the cardiovascular unit. I know he's going to be fine. This is a routine procedure with a high success rate. But because of COVID, he has to do the whole thing alone, and I know he's anxious. But when it's time for him to leave the hospital, Kristen will make the drive back to Hyannis again with a bag of McDonald's, as per Ethan's request, and bring him back to P-Town so he can rest and mend and then get back to work. Coming up next time on Welcome to Provincetown.
Everybody's cool. What time of the year?
August. It must be August, right?
Yep. I don't need the drama.
No.
The end of the summer season is rapidly approaching, and the crew is burnt out.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I need to, like, wake myself up. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Provincetown was created by Roomtone and Rococo Punch. It's produced by me, Mitra Kaboli, and Emily Foreman, in association with Stitcher. Story editing by Gianna Palmer at Witness Docs. Charlotte Livingston is our production assistant. Bart Tochi helped with fact-checking. Our executive producers are Jessica Alpert and John Parati at Rococo Punch, and Ben Riskin and Bianca Grimshaw at Roomtone. Camille Stanley is the executive producer of Witness Docs. And Casey Holford is the technical director. If you want to see pics from our summer in P-Town, follow us on Instagram at Rococo Punch. Thanks for listening.
So Fag Bash just ended. But at this fine hour of, like, what is it, 1:05 a.m., we are just looking at a gaggle of gay men all around us. We're seeing a lot of mesh crop tops. We're seeing a lot of neon pink calf socks and underwear peeking out of black shorts. Things I love, things I hate, things I could do without, things that I live for. They'll probably end up at Spiritus. Will these queens eat or won't they? That's the question that haunts us forever.